الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، always due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Continuing with Sharh Usul al-Iman, explaining the fundamentals of faith, Alhamdulillah, we have been able to complete our belief in five of the six pillars of Iman, which everyone here should memorize: to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and Qadr, preordained, which is the discussion of tonight's dars. Al-Iman bil-Qadr. Al-Qadr bi-Fath al-Dal. تقدير الله تعالى للكائنات حسب ما سبق به علمه واقتضته حكمته. The definition of Qadr with the fatha on the dal, because if you say Qadr, it will change the meaning. If you say Qadr, it will change the meaning. So there's more than one word with the same letters, but the vowels, you know, the fatha, dhamma, kasra, sukoon, that variation will change the meaning. So Qadr with a fatha on the dal is the one that means preordainment. And what it really means is that it is Allah's preordainment of beings. Allah's preordainment of beings according to His foreknowledge and as necessitated by His wisdom. According to Allah's foreknowledge and as necessitated by Allah's wisdom. So it's preordainment. They call it decree, preordainment, destiny, different words used in English to explain what Qadr means. والإيمان بالقدر يتضمن أربعة أمور. And belief in Qadr comprises four matters. Notice how many of you have had those already. الأول الإيمان بأن الله تعالى علم بكل شيء جملة وتفصيلا أو أزلا وأبدا، سواء كان ذلك مما يتعلق بأفعاله أو بأفعال عباده. The first matter is that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe, that we should believe, that Allah has knowledge of everything as a whole and in detail. Allah has knowledge, His knowledge encompasses everything as a whole and in detail, both or regarding the things that have happened in the past, the things that are happening right now, and the things that will be happening in the future. And irrespective whether it is pertaining to Allah's actions or the actions of His creation. So then let's understand this. To believe that Allah has knowledge encompassing everything, the whole and that which is in detail, the past, present and future, whether it is pertaining to Allah's actions or the actions of His creation, ibad, His creation, His servants. That's the first matter. The second matter, الثاني الإيمان بأن الله كتب كل ذلك كتب ذلك في اللوح المحفوظ وفي هذين الأمرين يقول الله تعالى ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماء والأرض إن ذلك في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير. Secondly, to believe that all of that has been written in the preserved tablet. اللوح المحفوظ, you hear this often. It is the preserved tablet. And we have a hadith which actually explains to us what the preserved tablet is. It is that book that is with Allah, that contains everything. And what was the first thing that Allah created? Al-Qalam. The first thing Allah created was the pen, according to the authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ. Then Allah told the pen to write. And the pen said, "What shall I write, my Lord?" And Allah told him, "Write everything that will take place until the end of time, until the Day of Judgment." Everything was written at that moment. Before the heavens and the earth were created, before we were created, all this was already pre-decreed. You being here tonight has been predestined and written back when Allah ordered the pen to write, way back. And now you're living out. You are living that preordainment. But we will explain how you still have the free will. Because some people wind up misunderstanding, say, okay, if Allah had predestined everything, then where is my choice? How do I get to choose? And what if it was destined for me to go to hell? And you know, something along these lines. All these would be answered, inshallah, both by the Shaykh. And I will give you a worldly example, inshallah ta'ala, as I promised you last week, that will remove any misconceptions, bi'idhnillah. Anyways, everything has been written in the preserved chapter. And Allah says regarding this in the Quran, do you not know that Allah knows everything that is in the heaven and in the earth? Verily, all that is in a book. Inna ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَاب. All that is in a book. Inna ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Verily, all that is easy to Allah. Now, this in Surah Al-Hajj, that was Surah Al-Hajj verse 70. This is explained through the hadith in Sahih Muslim. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص said, I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, Allah had written the preordaining of the creation 50,000 years prior to creating the heavens and the earth. Everything was written, and this is in the other hadith, in the, when the pen was created. 50,000 years before as-samawat wal-ard, before they were even created, that has already been preordained. What will happen was preordained. The third matter, al-iman bi-anna jami' al-kainat la takunu illa bi-mashi'ati Allah ta'ala. سواء كانت مما يتعلق بفعله أم مما يتعلق بفعل المخلوقين. Thirdly, to believe that all creatures only come into existence by the will of Allah. Nothing happens in this universe, in this creation. Nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Irrespective whether it is pertaining to Allah's actions or the actions of His creation. قال الله تعالى فيما يتعلق بفعله regarding Allah's action, Allah says in the Quran, وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار, in Surah Al-Qasas verse 68, and your Lord creates whatever He wills and He chooses. So Allah says that He creates whatever He wills. So every action, every creation is by the will of Allah. Nothing happens without the will of Allah. وقال ويفعل الله ما يشاء in Surah Ibrahim verse 27, and Allah does whatever He wills. وقال هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء, it is He who shapes you in the wombs of your mother as He wills. Again, the will of Allah. This was Surah Al-Imran verse 6. And find and one more, Surah An-Nisa verse 90. This is now regarding to the creation, the actions of the creation. وقال تعالى فيما يتعلق بفعل المخلوقين ولو شاء الله لسلطهم عليكم فلقاتلوكم. And if Allah had willed, He would have given them authority over you and they would have fought against you. This is dealing with the disbelievers and the cases of jihad against the Muslims. Allah was addressing the believers by telling them, if Allah willed, He would have given them authority and strength and power to fight against you, and they would have fought against you. But Allah will that they don't do that. So they didn't do that. So then the actions of the creation only happen by the will of Allah. Furthermore, in Surah Al-An'am verse 112, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوا فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. And if your Lord had willed, they would have never done it. So leave them and their fabrications. Again, the actions of the creation cannot happen but by the will of Allah. Right now, you cannot blink your eye except if Allah wills for you to blink your eye. If Allah wills that you don't blink your eye, no one has strength, authority, anything of this nature which will allow him to do something that Allah did not will. So Allah had decreed that He had knowledge that you will do that. He wrote that in a book. You know, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. Thirdly, it is happening by His will. You doing whatever you're doing is by the will of Allah, not independent of that. And the fourth matter, الإيمان بأن جميع الكائنات مخلوقة لله تعالى بذواتها وصفاتها وحركاتها. To believe that all of the creation, everything was created by Allah, the very creation itself, furthermore their qualities and their movements. Everything is the creation of Allah. So the movement of my hand is the creation of Allah. That action of mine is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am a creation of Allah and so are you. And my speech is a creation of Allah and my movements are a creation of Allah. The qualities that we have are the creation of Allah. Everything. And Allah says regarding this in the Quran in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 62, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay' wa huwa ala kulli shay'in wakeel. Allah is the creator of everything. And He is the wakil over everything. Wakil means trustee, disposer of affairs, the protector. That's some of the meanings that we get from the word wakil. And you even have it in the word like, you know, wakala. You get someone to kind of sponsor you or trust, protect you or speak on your behalf. So in a sense, Allah says, Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of everything. So there's two things, creator and creation. And everything besides Allah is the creation. Everything you see, us and everything that is included in us, are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is important to understand, because some groups among the Muslims don't feel this way. And we will deal with them later. They think that what we do is independent of Allah's will. That what you do, Allah did not decree for you. You do it and then Allah knows about it after you do that action. So they negate some of these verses we mentioned, but nonetheless, you know, these are the evidences used to prove what the, you know, the a'imma used to believe, the four a'imma and others. طيب. And finally, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And Surah Al-Furqan verse 2, and Allah has created everything and He gave it its due measurement. Everything was created according to its due measurement. From the smallest insect to the biggest animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in a fashion and He gave them the ability to go after their benefit. So the ant knows how to get food, how to store the food, how to survive, and so does the rest of the creation of Allah. This is what is intended by that according to some of the tafsir. وقال عن نبي الله إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال لقومه والله خلقكم وما تعملون. And this is very fundamental verse in Surah As-Saffat, verse 96. Allah spoke about His prophet Ibrahim, that He told His people after He had the discussion with them about the idols that they were worshipping. قال أتعبدون ما تنحتون. He told them, do you worship that which you have carved yourself? You know, you make a statue, then you worship it. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah created you and that which you make. So this is one of the clear verses, that the actions of the slaves are from the creation of Allah. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. عَمَل, actions, the things that you make. Allah created you and everything that you do. وَالْإِمَانُ بِالْقَدَرِ عَلَى مَا وَصَفْنَا لَا يُنَافِي أَنْ يَكُونَ لِلْعَبْدِ مَشِيئَةً في أفعاله الاختيارية وقدرة عليها، لأن الشرع والواقع دالان على إثبات ذلك له. طيب, here's where the misunderstanding arises. Belief in Qadr, according to what was just described earlier, does not negate the fact that each servant has his own independent will. You have your own will to do things. And you have the ability also. You've been given the will and the ability to carry out actions. And there's no negation between these two. Because both the law, al-shara, remember the divine law, wal-aql, and the waqa, excuse me, and the reality, indicate that you have been given that particular will. And I will give you the verses, then I will give you the example, inshallah. First, أما الشرع فقد قال الله تعالى في المشيئة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. Everybody knows Surah An-Naba. So regarding the مشيئة that Allah gave us, that will, Allah said, so whoever wills, he may take a path leading to his Lord. فمن شاء, whoever wills. So then Allah gave us a will. If we didn't have a will, then this verse would not be applicable. If we had no ability or no will, then how we understand this verse, فَمَنْ شَاءَ. So whoever will, meaning we do have a will, but our will is not independent of Allah's will. So we will by the will of Allah, but we still have a will. وَقَالَ أَفَأْتُ حَرْبَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. Approach your tilt in whichever way or however you like. This is dealing with the relation between a man and a woman. I'm not going to elaborate on that. That was Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 223. وَقَالَ فِي الْقُدْرَةِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah says regarding qudra, fear Allah to the best of your ability. Fear Allah as much as you can. Allah attributing ability to us, meaning you have taqwa as much as you can. If you didn't have that ability, again that verse would be in vain. And hasha lillah that we would say that the verses in the Quran are of no benefit. وقال لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Allah burdens the soul not beyond its scope. No one will be given more than you can handle. Upon you to the soul is what it earns from good deeds, and it will be held accountable from what it gains from bad deeds. So Allah says that no soul is overburdened. So you cannot be forced to do something, and then Allah will say that He does not give you more than you can handle. وَأَمَّا الْوَاقِعِ. That was Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 286. As for reality, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ لَهُ مَشِيئَةً وَقُدْرَ بِهِ مَا يَفْعَلُ وَبِهِ مَا يَتْرُكُ. Each one of us knows that he has the will and the ability to do whatever he wants and to leave alone whatever he wants. You coming here, did anyone force you? Did you feel anyone grabbing you by your shoulders and dragging you down the street, bringing you into the masjid, and you know, you're sitting there having some struggle with yourself, and then you say, hey, what am I doing here? No, this is not fair. I didn't want to be here. Does anyone feel this way? No. You come here willingly. And if you didn't want to do something, does anyone force you not to do it? Some of the kids who don't want to do homework. Huh? I hope everybody does their homework. If you don't want to do your homework, you cannot blame anyone else. You don't want to do your homework. That's an issue with you. Okay? So you cannot blame anything. You have the will and the ability to do or not to do. And this is reality. You know, you live this right now. You live in this right now. You could leave. Is anyone forcing you to stay? You're staying here willingly. And when you want to leave, no one will tell you to stay. So everybody has his own will. That's just normal. نعم. ويفرق ما بين ما يقع بإرادته كالمشي وما يقع بغير إرادته كالارتعاش. And we also make a distinction between things that happen with our will, like walking, and things that happen that are beyond our will, like shaking, shivering from sickness, for example. Sometimes you get a little, you know, shake, and you don't intend on doing that. It just happens to you. لكن مشيئة العبد وقدرته واقعتان بمشيئة الله تعالى. But the will of the slave and his ability are under that of Allah, under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not independent. وقدرته لقوله تعالى لقول الله تعالى لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. For whoever amongst you wishes to go straight, يستقيم, go straight, but you do not will unless Allah, the Lord of everything, wills. So Allah gave us a will. Whoever wills to go on a straight path, you may do that. But even if you will, you are unable to do it unless Allah wills it for you first. But then you are given that free will. طيب. والإيمان بالقدر على ما وصفنا لا يمنح العبد حجة على ما ترك من الواجبات أو فعل من المعاصي وعلى هذا فاحتجاجه به باطل من وجوه. Iman and decree in preordained in this fashion does not give the servant the excuse for leaving alone obligatory actions and committing sins and then saying, well, it's qadr. Akhi, why are you upset with me? It was the decree of Allah that I don't pray fajr. Allah's decree. Can we do that? Blame Allah for not waking up for fajr? Huh? No. Did it happen without the decree of Allah? No, it happened with the decree of Allah. But who had the independent will? You. So if you didn't carry out that action of yours, you cannot blame the qadr. Say, Allah decreed that for me. And I'm going to give you the example that I've been anticipating to give you, because I believe that worldly examples and make it easier to understand some of the Islamic concepts which may be more complicated in a sense, and because we can relate to them. So how do we understand this whole idea of preordainment versus your own free will? Because people may misunderstand, as I mentioned, by thinking, if Allah decreed that I'm, it's already been decreed that I'm gonna, who's gonna go where, right? Each one of us now, according to the hadith, each one of us already been decreed whether you're gonna go to Jannah or Jahannam. This is known. The same when Allah wrote, commanded the pen to write everything 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, among that where is our destination, life. So it's already been decreed. This is not news to Allah. Allah knows this. One. A person may say, if this is the case, then how is this fair? If Allah decreed that I'm going to go to Jahannam, then how, what is this? How do I live my life just simply to go to Jahannam because it was decreed for me? Then a person may think this is not fair. Then we say, time out. Here's an example. Most of you are employees perhaps. And you know, when you work at a company, you usually have a boss, a manager. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're strange, sometimes they're weird. One of these. Let's say you got one of these strange managers. But if you're a good employee, one day he comes and tells you, your name is Ahmed, says, Ahmed, I'm going to be watching your behavior and your conduct and your productivity at work for one week. Then after this 1 week, I'm going to do one of two things. Either I will promote you, make you big shot in the business, you're going to be better than the rest of the guys, or I'm going to fire you. I'm going to let you go. And he gives you no third choice. Now you, he's weird, he's one of these weird people. You really don't know what he is going to do. You have no idea what he has in his mind. He may be sick. He may want to find an excuse to get you fired. So he will give you this option. Say, listen, you know, I'm going to watch you. If you do good, I'm going to promote you. He knows that whatever you do, he's going to fire you. Possible. But the idea is, you don't know. But yet, everybody's with me up to this moment. But so now let's go to you. This was him and his issue. What are you supposed to do? Give me some answers. The next day you go to work. What are you supposed to do?
Work hard. You're supposed to.
Fair enough? You're supposed to work hard. Why? First, that's your job. That's your job. Second, by doing so, you are increasing your chances of being promoted. And naturally, that's what you're supposed to do. Because if you did otherwise, people would blame you. If you came to work wearing your pajamas, you know, having your breakfast, you know, on your office, your legs, you have your feet up on the desk, you know, and you're late, 20 minutes late, and the other employees walk in and said, hey man, what are you doing? Say, oh, you know, the boss told me he's going to give me 1 week. Either he would promote me or he would fire me. They're going to say, so why are you doing this? Look, if you do this, now he will definitely fire you now. Now you are definitely going to get fired. You see? So we say, naturally, normally, what you're supposed to do is do the good things. You have a job, you're getting paid. Naturally, you should work. Whether he's going to promote you or fire you, this is his business. Why? Because you do not know. Similarly, we are living today. Do you know whether you're going to Jannah or Jahannam? No. So what are you supposed to do? Work. Right? Allah gave you a path that leads to Jannah and told you travel upon it. And I promise I will take you there. And gave you a path that leads to Jahannam, said leave that alone. Otherwise you will go there. What do you do? And Allah knows what you're going to choose. But as far as you are concerned, what do you do? Do you say, well, what if I'm going to Jahannam and then you don't do your job? Or do you strive? You say, we strive. But what is the difference between the boss and Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Is that your boss may fire you even if you did your job. But with Allah, this will never be the case. If you do good, Allah will never put you in Jahannam. Because Allah is just. And the creation, they may be just, they may not be just. Is that clear? So if this is the case, it's none of my business. I don't know. Even if you stay here all night trying to find out what has been written for you, Jannah or Jahannam, you're not going to know. So do you sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to do salah? No, well, maybe Allah decrees that I'm going to the hellfire. Maybe not. And if you start acting this way, yes, you know what, maybe you are decreed to go to Jahannam. Because you may just wind up over there if you don't do the commandments. So the idea is clear. You know, we have been given the choice. We have the path that leads to goodness and the path that leads to evil. We don't know what Allah has decreed for us, but He gave us the ability to choose whichever one we want. So then we say, if you do your job, Allah will not put you in Jahannam because of His mercy, because of justice. So then we cannot say that qadr is an excuse, as many people seem to misunderstand. So anytime you think about this, remember this example inshallah, or share it with others to remove this misconception. You don't know the outcome, your job is to work. What the person does is none of your business. But in the deen of Allah, alhamdulillah, this is not how it is done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you accordingly. You strive to go to Jannah, and you're going to go to Jannah. That's just the way it is. That's the promise of Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. And Allah does not break His promises, Azza wa Jalla. طيب. Go back to the idea that we cannot use it as an excuse. Qadr as an excuse for what happens to us. Allah refuted that in the Quran in number of ways. Al-awwal, qawluhu ta'ala, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا قُلْ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ مِنْ عِلْمٍ فَتُخْرِجُوهُ لَنَا إِنْ تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَخْرُصُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, verse 148. Look how clear the context and the indications are. Allah says, those who disbelieve, those who ascribe partners with Allah, will say, had Allah willed, we would have never ascribed partners with Him, nor our forefathers, nor would have we made anything forbidden. Huh? They're blaming what? Allah's will, Allah's qadr. They said, if Allah wills, we wouldn't do shirk. We're doing shirk by the will of Allah. Listen now, look how they're trying to twist the thing. They're saying shirk is by the will of Allah. Why are you mad at me? Why are you upset with me? I'm doing shirk. Allah decreed. If Allah decreed for me not to do shirk, I will not do shirk. So then they are removing themselves from their own will and blaming the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Allah says regarding that. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Such those who came before them belied. Liars. This is a lie. Allah called it a lie. Anyone who blames the will of Allah for his sin, Allah called him a liar. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Until they tasted our torment and our punishment. Say to them, do you have any knowledge which you may produce to us? Verily you're only following conjecture or assumptions and thoughts, just guesses. وَإِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَقْرُصُونَ. And you are only lying. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Those who will say among the mushrikeen, it's by the will of Allah we do shirk. Don't be mad. Allah decreed. If Allah will, no shirk. If Allah will, we didn't commit shirk. Our fathers wouldn't have committed shirk. And we would have never made anything halal forbidden. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We should understand that. الثاني, the Shaykh said, وَلَوْ كَانَ لَهُمْ حُجَّةٌ بِالْقَدَرِ مَا أَذَاقَهُمُ اللَّهُ بَأْسَهُ. If qadr was an excuse for them, Allah would have not punished them. If it was really an excuse that they only committed shirk because of the will of Allah, is it possible that Allah would punish them for something that He forced upon them? If this is the understanding of Allah, then wallahi we have a problem in understanding who we worship. If someone believes that Allah will force us to do haram, then will punish us for doing this haram, then this is a problem. We say Allah Azza wa Jalla, ma rabbuka, وما وسط آية سورة الكهف وما الله بظلام للعبيد. When سورة القاف وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. And Allah says, and I am not to oppress my creation. ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And your Lord oppresses none. Allah doesn't oppress us, we oppress ourselves. We do wrong and we get punished for the wrong that we do. That wrong that we did is by our own will. We committed that sin and Allah allowed it to happen because we wanted to do it. It's still under the will of Allah, but Allah did not force it upon us. So this is the understanding. الثاني, قوله تعالى, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. Surah An-Nisa, verse 165. Allah says, messengers, bearers of good news, and also warners, giving warning, so the people may not have a plea against Allah after the messengers have been sent. So no one will have an excuse or proof against Allah after the messengers have been sent. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the Almighty, the Most Wise. The Shaykh said, وَلَوْ كَانَ الْقَدْرُ حُجَّةً لِلْمُخَالِفِينَ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ بِإِرْسَالِ الرُّسُلِ لِأَنَّ الْمُخَالَفَةَ بَعْدَ إِرْسَالِهِمْ وَاقِعَةٌ بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The Shaykh said, had the qadr been an excuse for those who are committing sin, then it would have not been removed after Allah has sent His messengers. Allah said that the messengers are been sent, so no one will have a plea against Allah. If they were still forced to do it, then it doesn't matter whether a messenger was sent or not. Then they will still be forced to do it. So because that violation of theirs happened after Allah had sent the messengers by His will. الثالث ما رواه البخاري ومسلم واللفظ للبخاري عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما منكم من أحد إلا قد كتب مقعده من النار أو من الجنة. فقال رجل من القوم ألا نتكل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال لا اعملوا فكل ميسر. ثم قرأ فأما من أعطى واتقى الآية. وفي لفظ لمسلم فكل ميسر لما خلق له. فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالعمل ونهى عن الاتكال على القدر. In Bukhari and Muslim, and the wording is according to Bukhari here, from Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions, there isn't a single one of you except that his place in fire or in paradise has already been decreed. His place in Jahannam or in Jannah is already written for him with his name. Each one of you. So now, they thought what we may think today. One of the men got up and said, O Messenger of Allah, shall we then depend on it? Meaning, if it's been decreed for me to go to Jannah, I don't have to do anything anymore. Right? I can relax. And I will wind up in Jannah. Why? Because it was decreed. And if there was a decree for me to go to Jahannam, what's the point of doing all the acts of worship? I might as well stop, because it's already been decreed for me to go to Jahannam. You see how he understood that? So what did the Prophet ﷺ tell him in response to teach him? He said, لا, no, you cannot depend. اعمل, اعملوا, work, strive. فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. Each one of you will be facilitated to that which he was created for. Meaning, if you were created to be among the people of Jannah, then you will live the life and do the things that the people of Jannah will do. And if you were created to be among the inhabitants of the fire, then you yourself will choose to live a life of the people who will go to the hellfire. So he said, no, don't depend on Qadr. Allah has been already decreed. I might as well relax. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, اعملوا, work, strive. Each one of you will be facilitated to that which is created for. And then he read some of the ayat from the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for he who has taqwa, the a'ta, the one who gives in charity, wa taqwa, and he fears Allah, that wa saddaqa bil husna, and he believes in the goodness that Allah has promised, then verily we will make easy for him the path to goodness. As for he who is stingy, holds back, and he feels self-sufficient, and he denies the goodness, then verily we will facilitate him to the path of difficulty. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that each will be facilitated according to his deeds. And you have the free will to do good deeds or bad deeds. So we don't depend on what Allah had decreed for us. We strive. You want to be among people of Jannah? You want to be among those فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى? Then you do أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And if you do the opposite, then naturally you're going to go with the other category. So then we understand this in the context that each one of us has his own independent will, either to obey Allah or to disobey Allah, to obey His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam or to disobey him. And on depending on whichever way of life we choose, we will wind up. No doubt about that. طيب الرابع أن الله تعالى أمر العباد أمر العبد ونهاه ولم يكلفه إلا ما يستطيع قال الله تعالى فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم وقال لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Fourthly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the slave to do things and He forbade them from others. And Allah did not give any one of us beyond His ability. Allah says, so fear Allah as much as you can. And Allah says, Allah does not give a soul more than it can handle. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْعَبْدُ مُجْبَرًا عَلَى الْفَعْلِ لَكَانَ مُكَلَّفًا بِمَا لَا يَسْتَطِعُ الْخَلَاصُ مِنْهِ. And if the servant was forced to do the things that were decreed for him, then he would be given beyond his ability. Something that you cannot escape. If Allah decrees for you to do all these bad deeds, and you know, and you don't want to do them, but you happen to do them because they were decreed for you, assuming that you understand this in this context, then this verse would not be applicable. How do you understand that Allah does not give a soul more than it can handle? Because then you are being given more than you can handle. You're being forced to do evil deeds that you don't want to do. So we say this is impossible. وهذا باطل ولذلك إذا وقعت منه المعصية بجهل أو نسيان أو إكراه فلا إثم عليه لأنه معذور. He said this is falsehood, because if you were to commit a sin out of ignorance or out of forgetfulness or out of being forced to do something, then there is no sin against you because you are excused. According to the teachings of Islam, if you do sin out of ignorance, you don't know, Allah will not hold you accountable. If you do it because you forgot to do the salah for whatever reason, you really forgot, not that you pretended that you're forgetting, you really forgot, you're not held accountable. If somebody forced you, as happened with some of the Sahaba, where they were forced to say the statements of kufr, right? Yasir, Ammar ibn Yasir, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, did you say that? He said, yes. He said, your heart, iman. He said, iman was there. He said, فَإِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they go back and force you to do this, do it again. Because you're forced, he's being obliged to do something that his heart is not in agreement with. So similarly, if someone put a gun to your head and say, curse, and let's say you don't want to curse, you cursing at that moment is excused. Allah will not hold you accountable because you're being forced to do something that you wouldn't do usually willingly. والخامس أن قدر الله تعالى سر مكتوم لا يعلم به إلا بعد لا يعلم به إلا بعد وقوع المقدور وإرادة العبد لما يفعله سابقة على فعله فتكون إرادته الفعل غير مبنية على علم منه بقدر الله وحينئذ تنتفي حجته بالقدر إذ لا حجة للمرء فيما لا يعلمه. 50. The decree of Allah is an unknown secret. As we mentioned the example, no one knows. No one knows what has been decreed. So, it only, when do you know about it? After it happens. You get in a car accident, and you realize that Allah had decreed that you would get in a car accident. Did you know that before the accident? No. Only after happening, you came to realize it. But the will of the servant to the things that you do is prior to you knowing the decree of Allah. Your will is before you know what Allah has decreed, whether you will do that thing or not. So if this is the case, then your will is not based on knowledge of the decree of Allah. Your will is not based on knowledge of what Allah decreed, because you did not do it yet to find out whether Allah decreed for you to do it or not. The Shaykh said if this is the case, you cannot use Qadr as an excuse, because you have no proof regarding the things that you have no knowledge of. You understand what I'm saying? So for example, you want to do Salah. And you have the will to do Salah. Now Allah had already decreed whether you will do it in the first Jama'ah, for example, or the second Jama'ah. Tayyib, you, during that time, do you know what Allah had decreed for you? No. So then your actions are based on no knowledge, except your own will. After you do that very action, and you realize that you prayed in the second Jama'ah, then you realize that Allah decreed for you to be in the second Jama'ah. So you can no longer use it as an excuse. that Allah decreed for me to be in the second jama'ah, because we say, you didn't know that in the beginning. Why didn't you strive to be in the first jama'ah? Because you had the will, you had the ability. So this is how this is to be understood. And the Shaykh will mention the sixth one actually. أننا نرى الإنسان يحرص على ما يلائمه من أمور دنياه حتى يدركه ولا يعدل عنه إلا ما لا يلائمه ثم يحتج على عدوله بالقدر فلماذا يعدل عما ينفعه في أمور دينه إلى ما يضره ثم يحتج بالقدر أفليس شأن الأمرين واحدا. He said, you see the human beings striving to get the things that they like in the dunya. You work hard to get the things that are pleasing to you in the dunya, and you will not leave it alone until you get that which is suitable for you. He said, then you will not use the qadr as an excuse for you doing the particular action. So if this is the way you deal with the affairs of the dunya, then what about the affairs of the deen? Aren't these two the things the same? They're one and the same. They're the same thing. The same way you strive to live a comfortable life, drive a comfortable car, have nice furniture, and you don't use the decree of Allah as anything, as an excuse. Why don't you strive to have perfect iman, a lot of active worship, and good character, the same way you strive for the dunya? If you don't use qadr as an excuse for that one, then you do not use it for the affairs of the deen either. وإليك مثالا يوضح ذلك لو كان بين يدي الإنسان طريقان أحدهما ينتهي به إلى بلد كلها فوضى قتل ونهب وانتهاك للأعراض وخوف وجوع والثاني ينتهي به إلى بلد كلها نظام وأمن مستتب وعيش رغيف وعيش رغيف واحترام للنفوس والأعراض والأموال فأي الطريقين يسلك. He said, let me give you an example to clarify. If in front of you there were two roads. One road which leads to a country that is full of chaos, killing, murder, robbery, people being afraid, lack of security, hunger, all of these problems. And another one which leads you to a country that has peace, tranquility, abundance, wealth, security, and respecting, you know, the person, the human beings, what have you. Which one of these two would you travel upon? You'll go to the second one. You will not go to the first one. إِنَّهُ سَيَسْلِكُ الطَّرِيقَ الثَّانِ الَّذِي يَنْتَهِ بِهِ إِلَى بَلَدِ النِّظَامِ وَالْأَمَنِ. You will go upon the path which will lead you to the country that has security and order. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ لِأَيِّ عَاقِلْ أَبَدًا أَنْ يَسْلُكَ طَرِيقْ بَلَدِ الْفَوْضَى. No sane person, no person with the right brain will ever go on the path that will lead him to the country of problems and destruction. So, والخوف يحتج بالقدر فلماذا يسلك في أمر الآخرة طريق النار دون الجنة ويحتج بالقدر. So no human being in his right mind will go upon the path of destruction and they will say, well, it was decreed for me. It was the qadr of Allah. No one will do that. He said, if this is the case, why would someone go on the path that will lead him to the Jahannam in the hereafter and then use the qadr as an excuse? So with this we understand that there's no excuse. There's more examples that the Shaykh will give, and then we will mention the benefits that we get from the belief in the qadr, and then we'll have probably one more dars before we conclude this particular book, inshallah. Then I will give you some. I'll give you. There's a surprise. There's a surprise that I've been hiding from you from day one. Some of you know because they put me in the corner, and most of you don't. But inshallah, when we reach the end of this book, I will tell you what it is and how you could benefit from it. There's something that may be of benefit to you brothers, inshallah. But we will wait till the last dars dealing with this particular book. Then I also want your suggestions regarding the next book that you want to deal with. I would prefer that we all have a consultation with one another as to agree to a book that we think is of benefit. Preferably dealing with the belief system though, and things of this nature, because we've discussed a lot of things about adab and etiquettes and how to deal with some things. Alhamdulillah, this is available in books. We need things pertaining to the belief system. Or we may consider something that has both. So if you have any suggestions, of course a book in Arabic, so we can do it in English. Otherwise, if it's in English, it may not be really necessary. You may. But think of some books, ikhwan, of some things that you think would be of benefit to discuss with each other, and inshallah, you know, tell me about them. This is as far as the dars is concerned. And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa baraka ala nabiyina Muhammad jazakallahu khairan subhanakallahumma bihamdika shallallahu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.